Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
I'm Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Flatshare slam down, cold
Close
cuts.
Close enough.
Yeah. Okay.
Always good to know that you've stopped listening to me this early in the podcast. You've zoned out.
We've got a tremendous guest this week, James McNicholas, who's Arse Blog. He is a famous Arsenal podcaster. He's also a member of the sketch group Beasts.
Isn't he Gunner Blog?
He's Gunner Blog, that's right. Yes, Arse Blog.
Arse Blog to his friends, but that's a very separate... He's Gunner Blog.
Yeah, yes, you're absolutely right, Clarkie. He's Gunner Blog.
We've got a very wonderful guest. He's a total arsehole. That's just what he calls himself online. So don't forget to subscribe to James Nicholas's Arse.
He does something with arse in the title. Arse Cast or some shit, I don't know. But anyway, one of the things that surprised me about James is, like, I knew him from as we all do with the sketch group Beasts, but I was hanging out with him one day and my friend who was in the group came over, like, went white and was like, "Oh my god, you know Gunner Blog?"
And you said, "No, like, I know Arse Blog."
He could barely talk to him because as an Arsenal fan he was like, this is like talking to a huge celebrity. So it's like in the football world he has kind of like this kind of prolific following.
Well, greetings to all our football fan listeners. You're in for a real treat. Don't you worry, we'll be discussing the whole Wenger out thing later on. We get to it. Hold your horses, onion bag fans.
The ultimate beef of all time.
So don't forget, if you enjoy James on the podcast, and why wouldn't you? Two things you can do. Number one, you can buy his book, The Champ and the Chump, which is out now. We give more details about that later on in the show. And also you can join the Patreon and hear a whole bonus beef with James and the three of us over on our Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare for £4 a month. You get over 150 bonus episodes, including bonus beefs with a bunch of our guests. We're talking about Mae Martin. We're talking about Kerry Godleman. We're talking about Pierre Novelli. We're talking about Steve Bugea. We're talking about Alison Smithell. So many fantastic guests that we've had recently have done bonus beefs with us. They're over at the Patreon now.
That's £1 a week.
Oh my God. You know what? Less than that in a long month.
30 Great. Days of September, Great. April, June and November. But let's not get into that now. Let's get into Beef Brothers Cold Cuts with James McNicholas. Sorry.
No. You absolutely... I did forget. You did say before the podcast, we're all going to say wire. And we left you hanging on that, mate. I could only apologise.
Second time's a charm.
Let's do it. Here we go.
Well, if you got a problem...
Right, let's get cracking. So,
sorry, is that your new catchphrase?
Does it always start like that?
Yeah. Is that our new? I've been away for a couple of weeks. Is that what we do now?
At the start, we say, "So, let's get cracking," and I start to say something, and Clark goes, "Sorry, could I?" And then it's actually, I'm not going to lie to you. We're still working out the kinks in the catchphrase.
I can see all the merch. Let's get cracking. Printing on t-shirts, mugs.
Let's get cracking on the front. Sorry, can I just...
printed over the top of it, so you can't really make out either.
What's going on, Clarky? You're all right.
Can you hear my neighbours chatting in the courtyard is what I was going to say. Do I need to close my window?
We can't hear them, but...
Lovely, because they really loudly interrupted you while you were saying, "Let's get cracking."
So I just wanted to make sure.
Can you hear them? Are they putting you off?
I can hear them, but I quite like it because, you know, if I get bored by what you guys are saying.
You've got another podcast going on.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got Courtcast going on.
Yeah.
Does anyone do that as a podcast where they eavesdrop on other people?
That's illegal, by the way. That's illegal, Tom. It's illegal. I mean, Piers Morgan did it, but not as a podcast. I mean,
I'm thinking it's like, you know, the lives of others, the conversation. Yeah, again, the podcasting. Lives of others.
That's illegal.
Back in the day. If you were in the Stasi, I guess you were the law, weren't you?
Yeah, fair enough.
Couldn't we become the podcast? That's what it'd be called, the podcast Stasi. And it's like, we eavesdrop on a different house every week. This week it could be you.
Reverse Gogglebox.
Yeah, like a very frightening Gogglebox.
If you give it a game show element. Like, you know when Noel's House Party kind of, he jumped in through your
tent. MTV, of course, yeah.
It wasn't illegal, was it? It was like, there was like a nice surprise element
to
it.
No, but I'm sure they had permission from somebody at that house.
They had a man on the inside. And Noel always had a man on the inside.
Inside Noel.
Yeah.
So how would it work, though, Parry? So the idea is, so we'd film what people are doing in their house of an evening. We bug a house, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, Bug a House is a very different podcast I'm also working on. But we would...
I'm bugging out.
It's you and Hugh Laurie, isn't it? It's you and Hugh Laurie on a date.
Listen, Hugh is only tenuously attached, so let's not clear the deal here, okay?
I that's what I heard. I heard he was tenuously attached by the end of the night.
I tell you what, it's a prequel. He didn't used to wear the cane before.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. So listen, okay.
Let's get cracking.
Let's get cracking, guys. You record the inside of somebody's house, and then. Like what? Because think about what the noises coming from inside your house of an evening would be. Quite a lot of it would be you watching the telly, talking about that kind of stuff, chatting over dinner, talking about your day. Where's the meat of it?
Well, that's my question to McNicholas. Yeah. If we'd bugged your house, if you were this week's guest on Bugger House.
We can't call it Bugger House.
The working title. But you know.
What rooms are you bugging?
Yeah, good question. But
they're all bugs.
Yeah. The bedroom's bugged on Patreon, I guess. The bedroom and the toilet. You've got to sign up for that exclusive content.
The shit cast, yeah.
Yeah.
$20 for the bug. God, that's a great idea. So I'm saying, if you're our guest on Bugger House, right?
Yeah.
What would be the stuff that makes the highlights that comes out of your flat? Do you reckon?
I'm trying to think. I mean, probably there'd be a lot of me talking to myself. I talk to myself a lot in the house. Talking to the dog. yeah, sure. Like she's a human. I was recording another podcast the other day and the dog was barking in the other room and I said, sorry, I've just got to deal with that. Left the door open and went out the room. Someone alerted to me the fact that later on the guy put out the podcast and you could hear me in the background explaining to my dog that I was on a podcast. Being like, sorry, I'm actually trying to do a podcast at the moment. Can you keep it down? Which is sort of, you know, lighthearted and whimsical in the moment. But when it's recorded and played out for other people, it just seems like I'm a psychopath or a lunatic.
Did it work? Did the dog understand that you did the dog say fair enough?
Yeah, of course. Lucky the dog didn't speak back. If that had made air, you know, I'd be inundated with calls from the media.
I was imagining you'd go through, the dog's got headphones and is sat in front of a mic doing their own podcast, going, well, actually, your podcast is bothering my podcast.
Dogcast, yeah. Or podcast, yeah, very nice.
Yeah, so has talking to the dog replaced talking to yourself? Is that one of the benefits of having a dog, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's sort of marginally less troubling. I mean, I can't stress this enough. I'm not recording my own house, so I can't be absolutely clear. If one of you guys is, you'll know better than me. But I think I am talking to the dog. That's our job.
Yeah. Roll the tape. Here we go.
I was going to say, though, I think generally when I talk to myself, it's largely to tell myself off.
Yeah.
For for something bad I've just done or you know.
I am the exact opposite.
You're basically commentating on yourself like you're scoring the winner for England,
if
right?
If my house was bugged, you'd hear a lot of, oh, you absolutely nailed that parry.
Oh, really? I'm like
that
Ben.
That was a great bath.
What?
That was the perfect temperature bath. Nailed it. Smashed it.
You smashed the bath. You have put on wager in filming, haven't you?
You've got to give the Patreons something good. Yeah, I knew they were listening.
Very hot water and then very cold. It just shattered.
It's a glass bath.
And he literally nailed it.
So you walk around telling yourself off, do you, boys?
Yeah.
I do, yeah.
God, what have you done that for?
A lot.
Why'd you
of
leave that there?
Why have you done that? That if I was to have a catchphrase on what's this podcast called again?
Bugger House,
yeah. Why have you done that? Would be it. That'd
Why
be my
have you
merch.
Done that? Yeah. I realised ages ago my brother, when he's like disappointed in me, kind of goes, "Oh, Ben." And I started doing that to myself.
I was going to say your mom as well. That Oh, Ben.
Yeah, that's true, actually. She
that's kind
too,
of
yeah.
been there a lot, hasn't it, really? Yeah,
it's almost like a sort of Clarky family catchphrase, isn't it?
It really brings the rest of his family together, actually.
They actually harmonise as they do it.
After Christmas dinner, they all stand around in the living room and just chastise
a rousing
Ben.
Chorus of "Oh, Ben."
How has Ben let us down this year? Let's go around the room, shall we?
I feel like it's the only time my brothers get on are when they're kind of united in being annoyed with me.
It's quite nice that you've replaced that, though, and you're sort of doing it yourself. I guess in lockdown it was a necessity, right?
Well, that's it, yeah. And I guess part of me feels like you need it. You need it a little bit. Just, you know, come on now.
Do you guys
left your phone in the fridge, mate?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't get it, Clarky, then you become Parry. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
If you don't have a voice in your head saying, well, don't do that. Wait, did you leave your phone in the fridge?
No, I didn't actually, no. But I do leave it in a variety of strange places.
Brilliant. I'd be like, amazing, look where you left it. That was great.
Sensational hiding place. What a journey we've had to retrieve it.
Narratively, that was superb, Parry. Well done. Crosby, do you talk to your cat? Or your,
yes.
Has the baby replaced... I guess now that you're it's a more a child situation where they understand what you're saying to them, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. My child does understand what I'm saying to them. And also, cats aren't great for... Because, like, I read an article where cats... They're not great listeners at all, because I read an article where cats... know their name. You know, like dogs are very good at knowing their name and you can call them back. Cats know their name but choose to ignore it.
Brilliant.
So like they will, like, so if I'm shouting Cosmo, she'll know I'm shouting Cosmo, but she'll think, nah, you know what? I'm happier sitting under this bush.
He's only going to tell me about the things he's done wrong today. I can't hear that again. Fuck me.
I don't know myself where his fucking phone is. In fact, I do, but I'm not going to tell him.
It's under this bush.
Cosmo, I've agreed to do another podcast with Parry and Clark. It's called Bugger House. Fuck me, I'm off. I'm off to the neighbours. You'll see me in 4 days or some shit.
Well, right. Shall we crack on? Shall we crack on with some beefs? We've talked
let's
enough.
Let's get cracking, famously.
Let's get cracking. Were we recording when I said let's get cracking? We were.
If we weren't, then, I mean, we should throw this whole thing out.
It's going to be absolutely mad. Do you want to... Should we begin from the top?
Let's get re-cracking.
Well, let's start off with a beef. Tom, this actually fits in with what we've been talking about. Do you want to do your beef from a listener?
Happy to. This is Dog Plate Beef from Joe via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Dear Pappies and esteemed guest. That's you, James McNicholas, esteemed.
Very kind.
Have you been esteemed before, do you think?
No, but I'm an author now, aren't I? So that's
true. Yeah, that's true.
That's very true. Who
had 16 minutes before the book plug?
So butt plug.
Sorry, yeah.
I had 10 minutes, but that was for the other. That was for a different
to Burger House.
You must find it hard to not tell everyone you meet that you're an author now, right?
Yeah. I've got a label. Everyone. I've got a badge. That I wear at all times. No, I
does that mean someone has to give up their seat for you on the tube?
Yeah, the driver actually, which is dangerous. No, although I crudely brought it up then, it's only because I was desperately trying to think of any other instance which I might have been considered esteemed, and I don't think there possibly can be one. So it's a first. Thank you very much, dear listener.
You're absolutely welcome. For ages, I have dreamt of sending you a beef, but my wife, son and I have a relatively harmonious living arrangement, and until yesterday, I couldn't find anything that felt especially beef-worthy. He's chomping at the bit to
chomping
have
at
a
the beef.
Yeah.
Imagine then my delight when this happened. A friend of ours had brought her son round for a garden chat. The kids played together. We nattered. It was very pleasant. Also in attendance was their schnauzer, Rocky. And when I made drinks for everyone, I bought Rocky a plate of water. A high-sided child's plate, not the wedding china. After they'd gone, I popped the plate next to the sink to be washed up later. I was outside taking laundry in when my wife appeared at the door asking, is the orange plate I've just put in with the rest of the washing up the one the dog's just been drinking off? It was. She then got annoyed with me for not keeping it separate for, I'm not sure, a different kind of washing up. So, pappies and esteemed guest slash author, please help me out. Am I in the wrong here? Thanks for the year of laughs. Years of laughs, sorry.
I've been listening for 11 years, yeah. And I've totted it up. Cheers. I've had about a year's worth of laughs at this.
Not bad. Not a bad ratio.
No, we'll take it. Cheers, everyone. Bye. From Joe. That's an interesting beef, and one that hasn't cropped up in our years.
In our years of laughter.
A year of laughter.
Well, we kind of have a version of this where, so our dog, Belle, she's a lovely dog, but she does piss in her bed fairly regularly. It's not because she is not house trained. She is. She's just unbelievably lazy. And in the mornings, she'll just be like, I guess I could get up and alert people to the fact that I need the toilet. But rather than that, I will just piss in this bed and continue to lie here in it until I'm disturbed.
Can I ask you a
question?
It's
very much the same with Clarky.
Yeah. Oh, Clarky.
That was going to be my question. Can you adopt Clarky?
Ben,
back to sleep.
But
so, let me just ask you a question quickly about this, because how do you feel about this? Because
with your hand and it's all damp, it's horrible. Yeah.
But how are you happy of the lie-in, even though when you wake up you're going to have to clean up a load of piss, or do you think, no, I'd sooner get up at 5 a.m. and, you know,
we tried
let them out the house.
We tried that. We were like, we spoke to a dog trainer. They were like, you need to intercept.
Yeah.
So we got up extremely early and did this for a period of time. But then inevitably we'd get her up, take her out. We'd go back to bed. We'd have another 2 hours sleep. She'd just do it again. I think she must love it, to be honest. Like, there's no other explanation. Yeah. So
quite satisfying.
But the reason, yeah, I think the issue is she's got, like, there's two beds in this room now. She's got, like, four beds on a rotation. Like, one's constantly in the washing machine. But right. The question we always have is when we put it in the washing machine, which is, as I say, 5 days out of seven, first thing in the morning, is it acceptable to put other clothes in the washing machine?
With the piss bed.
The piss bed, yeah. I don't know if you have this with babies. Is that a conundrum you face?
I guess so, yeah. We're occasionally getting kind of wet sheets and stuff. So, but I think in most instances, we just put that in as its own wash.
Yeah. And so then, do we, but it feels...
It feels like you could always dig it. But what else would you be happy putting in there? Because there's...
Socks.
You know what? Yeah.
They're far from the face. They're going to smell anyway.
Yeah. Why not stick a load of gym socks in
there? Hang on, Parry says surely pants. Not your best pants, though.
No, you're not going to put in pants.
Gym pants.
Pants need to be clean.
But but your pants rub against your balls and your cock all day.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So, yeah, so you don't want them to be covered in dog piss.
Or little, what little, Harry's saying is he brings what happens in his pants there. Is so appalling.
It's so immediate. Gorgeous.
It may as well.
It's totally.
It's so bad.
They may as well be pre-soiled by my dog.
I think you've got to trust the wash, right?
That's think it. This,
it all ends up in the sea, doesn't it? That's what you got to think.
It's the same with the dishwasher, I guess.
I got ostracised from a stag do once for shitting in the sea.
Yes.
And it turned the stag do on its head against me. And I've never experienced it before.
Can I ask a question?
The
How
hostility.
Did you get found out?
I said, oi, lads,
you did it from
this,
the pier.
And then I did a picture. we were all in the sea.
It was a helicopter ride.
we were all in the sea, and I swam off a little bit and said, oi, lads, look at this. And then... And then did loads of shit, and they all ran out of the water like it was Jaws. And I was like, oh, a bit of fun. And then I came out to sea, and no one had talked to me for a couple of hours. And it had really, really changed the mood of the stag.
I think it's changed the mood of this podcast as well.
I tried to talk about it at gigs, but it turned the audience against me. And
Tom,
to the point of no return.
I don't know at what point you're going to realise that behaviour was unacceptable and no one wants to hear about it.
My overarching point is the same. Go on, James, say it with me.
Well, it all ends up there anyway.
It all ends up in the sea. That's the point of my Edinburgh hour at the end. That's where I bring it round and say, it all ends up in the sea, and then cue the music and I kind of walk through the audience and everyone kind of slowly kind of gets up and a standing ovation happens or something because suddenly everyone realises it does all end up in the sea.
I think internal monologue is gradually doing you dirty here, Parry.
I think it's about proximity in that case.
Yeah.
We're comfortable with the idea it all ends up in the sea. We just don't want it to sort of bob up next to us in the sea.
Yeah. Also, sewage plants exist, don't they? Isn't there a process of like treating, I suppose not treating the sewage?
Clarky for a minute there doubting the existence of sewage plants. you had a slight wobble on it.
He's had a rumour.
I've not imagined these, have I?
I've not been to a garden centre recently, but I've heard there's a thing called sewage plants. They're a bit like a Venus flytrap. You shit into them, they eat it, gets rid of your sewage. Is that one? I think, Tom, you're actually right. It does all end up in the sea, but I think, and again, James, I think was about to make this point. There's a journey there, isn't there? And you want to be as far away from the journey as possible, right? Mm. You want to be at the very start of the journey. Miles later, at the end of the journey, it ends up in the sea. Okay, in the same way that you wouldn't, for example, you wouldn't be in the bath and think, "Well, I'll take a piss in the bath because I'm in the bath." Because then you're in your own.
You clearly haven't been bugging my house. Listen back to the tapes, brother.
You nailed that bath, Parry. You absolutely nailed it.
Just the right temperature.
Well, it was by the end.
When I said it was the perfect bath, what do you think I was referring to, guys?
I know I talked to you saying end of podcast earlier on, but I actually agree with you. End of podcast. This is the worst.
I think it's important to remember, though, that I would say a piss bed is worse than a water plate.
A lot worse.
Yeah. So in terms of the wash, I think you're right to be a bit hesitant putting other things in with the piss bed. I think, personally, a lick plate, you're fine.
The dog's not been washing his fucking balls in it, has he? But he has probably been licking his balls.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there is that. He's licked his balls.
Yeah, but
and then
it's slightly further away from the journey, isn't it?
Yeah, distance from the journey.
If you had to really clean something, what would you trust, a washing machine or a dishwasher?
A great question.
Oh, that is a good question, actually.
Dishwasher. What is the more powerful of
dishwasher,
those instruments?
I think. And I know that's mad because of the amount of pre-wash you have to do to stuff to get stuff really clean. But I think a medium soiled plate,
yeah,
dishwasher every time.
Well, it'll be carnage in a washing machine, to be honest.
That's where the question falls down, James. No, medium soil plate compared to medium soil t-shirt
to do what you're washing.
Because let me tell you, I tried to do my dishes in the washing machine.
I think you're in the dog's bed.
Yeah. I think you are right. I think dishwasher's got more of a hard man attitude because it deals with solid surfaces.
Yeah.
Yeah,
whereas,
I
like,
think so.
The amount of times something comes out of a washing machine and it's like fucking, oh, it's washed on stain now. Mm. Oh, Tom, you've nailed that wash. The stain's permanent, brilliant. Yeah. Even with
it's
the
always
sad there.
Voice.
Jane comes in and goes, Tom, why are you shitting into the washing machine? But like, I'm trying to make it a bit fun for the kids.
Just screaming that it all comes out in the sink.
I think, you know, I go with dishwasher, I think. I think it's got a hard man attitude.
Yeah, if you ever accidentally open a dishwasher slightly before it's over.
Yeah, oh yeah, exciting.
It's fucking madness in there.
It's chaos
the
in there, yeah.
That
the
comes
heat,
out.
The water,
it's like
yeah.
You, it's like when you're doing your roast potatoes or something and you get that, like, boosh. Wall of heat come out. It's similar.
But do you think if you're allowed to open your washing machine before it finished, you would be just as impressed with
that's
it?
That's true. It's sealed off.
I think I'd be impressed, but I do. The temperature is much higher in the dishwasher, isn't it? Because an eco wash on my dishwasher is 50 degrees.
Ooh.
And I wash almost everything on 30 degrees in the washing machine.
Yeah, so there's power to a dishwasher, isn't there? There's
right.
power,
and
there's
I think
heat.
The normal wash is like 80 degrees or some mad shit like that.
You can cook food in a dishwasher, can't you?
Hang on.
Hold on.
Well, like sous vide kind of style.
Well, I don't know who sous vide is, but...
you don't read a cookbook?
Was she off
cooking,
the bake-off? I don't know. She did a couple of, I've stopped watching it since I moved to Channel 4. But like, I've seen on, like... I mean, admittedly, I've seen this on, like, those kind of shows.
Cooking in prison.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. But it's like, you know, these people are... Look at these mad rednecks and their mad redneck lifestyle on TLC channel, that kind of thing. But there are people who, like, make a lasagna and, like, wrap it in tons and tons of foil so that it's sort of sealed, stick it in the dishwasher with their plates, and it cooks it.
Wow.
So it's that's... You know, in the same way that people can, like, heat up food with their car
boil
and stuff.
Yeah, I bet you could boil an egg in there.
Oh, you could comfortably boil an egg in there, although it would probably be... I mean, you'd have to work out some sort of contraption that could contain it. It feels like the sort of thing they sell on QVC, isn't it? An egg cup's a good one, actually. Yeah, you know, now I think about it, Clarkie. The egg cup already exists.
So what we're saying is, really, in a kitchen, you could do away with your... You might even be able to do with your oven and your washing machine and just go pure dishwasher. That's what the rednecks are doing.
You've got a really big dishwasher.
Yeah. I've got a dishwasher only flat.
Yeah.
I'm so committed to the dishwasher only. I've got three dishwashers.
Yeah. It's cost me a fortune. It's more expensive than if I was running an oven.
I think... are we able to solve this now, nice and quickly?
I think he's
I don't
right.
think it's
the
a problem.
Lick plate was totally... That's totally fine going in with the rest of the stuff, I'd say. I'd say so.
I'll say one thing. We will occasionally... Because also, I'm presuming we're talking about... this is in the... This is not a wash. This is not a dishwasher we're talking about. We're talking about in the sink, aren't we?
Yes.
So...
Oh, right, okay.
To wash it up in the sink.
I forgot people live like that.
Yeah.
Now I'm an author.
I popped
the
plate.
World away.
I pop the plate next to the sink to be washed up later. Yeah. Is the orange plate I've just put in with the rest of the washing up the one the dog's been drinking off? It was. That's what we're getting here from that, right? So
the only bit where I think she could have beef is if he'd left the water in.
Yeah.
If the dog had drank all the water or if he's dispensed of the water, not a probs.
Chuck the water in the garden, stick it next to the sink. I think that's absolutely fine.
But if there's still water in it and you've dumped that water into the sink, then it's like dog drink water. But
I think we live in a world where in order to maintain our sanity, we have to trust washing up, right? Because if you think about when you go to a restaurant, how many times has that fork been in somebody else's gob? You just have to not think about it and trust that washing up works. Right? So I feel like stick it in with everything, wash it up with everything, totally fine. If you're using, if it's all sat there in the sink for ages stewing, that's a problem. But if you put it in nice hot water, bit of e-cover, you're great.
Sung Happy Birthday.
Exactly.
It's got to work. These are the laws we live by.
Our trust in cutlery is insane, isn't it? It's mad that we don't all just carry our own in like little holsters on our body. And
I'm glad you specified where the holster was going to be, as opposed to a floating holster above our heads.
Do you not think it's mad when you go in like a Pret and the forks are facing up?
Yeah,
and like to grab one, you've got to touch six of them.
Yeah, everyone's got to touch all the prongs. It's grimbo, absolutely grimbo. But yeah, we don't think about it. You know, it is mad, but you can't.
The cutlery delusion, that'd be like a good title of a book, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's got sort of Malcolm Gladwell vibes.
Ask the author, I suppose.
I'll get the publishers on their line.
But yeah, the cutlery delusion, there's at least an essay in it.
It's like we can't start thinking about, as soon as we're not trusting cutlery, our worlds will collapse as we know them.
Yeah.
I think Matt's right.
I think you just have to assume that washing up works. But then, you know, occasionally you'll be in the pub occasionally and you'll see there's like big thick lipstick on the pint glass. That's happened before. And you just go, oh, okay. Drink from the other side, you know. You just like just turn it around. You have to, otherwise, your brain goes, "Oh yeah."
Well, the lipstick's a blessing because that tells you where the lips have been.
It's the marker.
If the previous drinker wasn't wearing lipstick, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, and yet this is the time when they've basically banned straws as well.
Although,
this is what you should. So, like, what you should.
We're awful for the planet so far. We're saying get three dishwashers.
Yeah.
Which go at 50 degrees.
And for God's sake, bring back plastic straws.
That's been our message so far.
Yeah. But did you not hear me suggest that you use e-cover washing up liquid? So it balances itself out, all right?
That's true.
I'm advocating raw sewage into the sea.
You're not just advocating it, you're providing it.
This isn't our best hour on an eco front, but yeah, sure. Dogs can lick the bowls. Let's call it. We know this, don't we?
Dogs can lick the bowls. Mules can go in the sea.
I didn't know that was the beef, but yeah, let's allow it. I will say this though, right? And I hate to dip back in. I do think it is slightly different if you're doing the washing up, and I think when you're doing the washing up. We've discussed this at length before, but I think you have to have a bit of a system and you do the things that have been need the most cleaning first and then maybe empty out and do, you know, fresh water for the glasses or something. You might be a bit miffed if there's a dog bowl in there.
Here's the thing though, Clarky. I was thinking about this because I was thinking sometimes we wash Cosmo's bowl. We often put it in the dishwasher, but sometimes we wash Cosmo's bowls in the... And I always wash them last. I always make it the last thing I wash in the washing up, right? But then I thought, well, what am I washing them with? The sponge. So it's just going to go on something else later on, isn't it? It's, you know, I just think you've got to put, like, here's the thing. When it comes to washing, when it comes to everything, put it out your mind, guys. Put it out of your mind. Otherwise, you're going to start,
don't
you know.
Look at the glass.
Exactly.
Have another drink.
You'll start seeing germs floating towards you, like that episode where Mr. Burns grows his fingernails, and you'll be constantly scratching yourself, and you'll go insane.
And turn into a dog. Ironically.
Beef solved.
Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Seagull Attack Defense.
It's a beef
from Rob, my beefbrotherspodcast at gmail.com. And Good Rob time. Says, hi, gang and guest. No esteemed. Front names only, please. I've never heard a first name referred to as a front name. Have you?
This
Welcome
is
to
well,
the
we,
pod.
We have. This is very, very early on in the podcast. Parry described it as a front name, and it sort of stuck. So in order to sort of maintain a level of anonymity, we have our listeners as front names only. So
I
it's
like
front,
it.
Front names only. That's deep Beef Brothers lore.
Okay, great. So Rob says, this isn't a flat-based beef per se, but maybe you can still help.
Happy to
I was recently on a trip to Cornwall with a lady friend when one night we decided to get fish and chips from St. Ives. While sitting on a nearby wooden beam on the beach, it became apparent...
I met a man with... No, carry on.
It became apparent that the seagulls were on the prowl and taking an interest in what we were eating.
Yeah.
Around six or seven of these aggressive bastards started to get very close and were clearly readying themselves for a full-on assault at the slightest mistake from us. Assault Suddenly, they attacked.
Sorry?
We took our eye off the ball, one went for my chips, and another two started to fight over a small tub of mushy peas I had left between my feet.
What?
Why have you...
we can come back to that, because...
No, let's dwell on that for a second now.
Okay.
We've already said the socks are far away from the problem, but if you're using it as your mushy peas receptacle, you can't put your socks in with the piss bed there, can you?
Is he on a bench or is he crouched on the floor?
So he is he's on a wooden beam on the beach.
Right, okay. So okay, that's different then.
He's not squatting over his peas.
No, I still think peas on the floor is weird.
Yeah, no? But if you're on a beam, you're low to the ground, aren't you? So that you
balance it on your head or something.
But the ground at the beach is not the ground elsewhere, is it?
I've been in the sea.
No, if you're like on sand or you're on pebbles, I think that's fine for most things, you know. It's in the. He's not spooned them out onto the beach.
No. He's in a tub.
They're in a tub. I think that's all right, isn't it? And you're right. Okay. It's a low beam.
It's dippable, basically.
It's still within reach.
Well, if you squat, yeah.
So presumably he's got fish and chips in hand, peas
in
between
feet.
His feet. Yeah.
And we've all been there.
Rob says, in the ensuing chaos, I tried to protect our food as best I could whilst holding on to my own food, and herein lies the beef. As two gulls fought over the mushy peas, I used my foot to shoo them away and made contact with one of the beasts. The fight continued and I had to repeat the action before they would leave the pot alone and let us return to our dinner. The seagull in question continued to stare at the food from 2 feet away and showed no signs of injury. I would feel terrible if I had actually injured another animal. My lady friend now insists I kicked a baby seagull into a wall. There are pictures enclosed of said wall and baby seagull from the scuffle. She tells friends about the incident and makes out I have a worse animal rights record than McDonald's. Was my behaviour justified, or do I need to be sent away to the RSPB for sensitivity training? Yours, Rob.
This is a hell of a one.
Yeah.
This is a hell of a one.
I mean, I'm looking at these pictures now, guys. If that's a baby seagull, I don't want to see an adult. It's a big old bird.
I sent you the photos, by the way.
You did.
So you can have a look at the size. And it's a big old bird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a baby. Technically, yeah, it's a juvenile because it's got the older. It's all speckled and stuff and brown rather than the white. Okay. But they are they're still fucking massive.
Mm. It's like an Asbo seagull.
Another great book.
Very interesting.
What do you reckon?
To a wall? There's no wall there. Come on.
I think as well, as soon as, right, I'm not condoning kicking birds. I'm absolutely not. I know what he's done here, because you do this sometimes when there's like a load of pigeons come towards you. If you step up and start walking towards them, the chances are they're going to disperse and scatter. That's what happens, right? So I think he probably put a foot out.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade style.
Exactly, exactly right, yeah. So he put a foot out, hoped that the bird would scatter, accidentally caught it.
Didn't he do it twice?
He repeated the action.
So I think it does sound like he was describing a kick.
The first time, I would say you could be forgiven. If you made contact, you'd immediately, like you said, you'd feel remorse. You would then go, right, well, I'm not doing that again. Let's pick up these mushy peas. Let's move them further down the beach. Or better yet, let's just eat them while we're walking home, right?
Well, pop them between your knees and waddle down the beach.
Slowly move them further up the body. Rest them on the crotch for a little while, get them nice and warm. Armpit, and then finally gob.
And then take up street theatre. I'd drop some coins in the bucket to see it.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the sort of thing you see on the Royal Mile. People are flyering.
The old mushy peas guy. Love him. Mind you, I'd also, have you seen the bird kicker? I mean, I'd drop a couple of coins in the bucket. That's so that guy who boots a baby bird against a wall for a fiver. We're going back to the olden days.
Yeah, I think the second time is the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
it's a repeat offence.
Like, I think, first of all, I think he's being coy. He's describing kicking a bird. But I will say, is it that bad a thing?
Oh, the notorious animal lover, Ben Clark, says, is it bad to kick birds?
There are certain birds
already identified as a baby bird.
The big question we're asking today on Kilroy is it okay to kick baby birds? On the one hand, Ben, we have Ben Clark. Ben. On the other hand, we have everyone else in the world. So Ben,
you've just kicked a bird against the wall, and it's a baby.
Any younger, it would be an egg, Clarky. Is it all right to kick an egg against a wall?
Yeah.
Are you saying that sort of, you know, some animals are more equal than others? Like, are there animals it's acceptable to kick?
I think that.
Like, would you kick a rat?
Okay, well, right, fantastic. No, here we go. This is how we play. We're playing, what animal would Clarky kick? Okay? Yes. So we're going to, the idea is we have to pick animals that we think Clarky would be fairly comfortable booting. And we're not talking about we're not talking about like drop kicking here. We're talking about booting in order to get them away from him.
Let's say there are some mushy peas he's defending with his life.
Defending the honour of my mushy peas.
Exactly. Right. So, James, what are you going to start with first?
Well, I mean, I threw rat out there. I mean, I feel like it's almost too easy.
I feel like Clarky would kick a rat.
I'd kick a rat, yeah. In the right circumstances.
And James would throw one, apparently.
I'm not chasing one down the street and putting the boot in, but in the right circumstances.
That's what we're talking about. But isn't that true of most animals in self-defence? Is this self-defence?
Well, it's not quite, is it? I don't think they were under attack.
Well, that's true, because if we say, if a lion's going for his mushy peas, he's probably going to kick it, isn't he? I think, yeah, I'd say actually at that point, that as much as I love mushy peas,
it would be audacious if the lion stopped for the mushy peas and would, like, imagine you're there eating mushy peas, this fucking lion attacks. Turns out it was only after the mushy peas.
It's already had an antelope and probably got chips of its own.
This is better than gazelle.
For a side.
Unbelievable.
Looking for a side for its gazelle.
Well, it was a bit. That antelope was a bit dry.
Yeah.
Have you got any curry sauce?
My wife once stabbed a gull with a fork.
Oh, yeah.
Was it a pigeon? It was a bird that made a swoop for a pasta salad, and she was holding it, and she kind of reared up in defence, and it pronged the bird.
When you say she was holding it, you mean she grabbed the bird by the neck and pronged it three times in the chest?
Well,
with
the
her
thing
plastic
is,
fork.
The forks were they were
in a prison shower together. Yeah. I should say.
You're going to need a lot of washing up after that incident. Let me tell you.
My wife is very aggressive towards gulls and any birds that make play for food. I personally feel a lot more philosophical about it, and I think actually it's a little dance of nature here. This is the kind of thing we've kind of taken out of our day to day, you know, predators coming for the food that we've got. That was our entire existence back in the day.
Predator coming for your food, mate.
That's the situation we're describing here. They arrived as a pack, they circled, then they made an aggressive advance to scare you off your kill. It's what happens in those nature documentaries that Ben, the bird kicker, is so fond of.
It's the scavengers, though, aren't they? That's scavenging, not...
Something to just occurred to me, which is that when I was performing with erstwhile esteemed sketch group Beasts, we were once doing a show at Brighton Fringe that... The heavily seagull-populated Brighton.
Of course, yeah.
That had not sold any tickets. So in an attempt to rustle up interest, Kieran and I tried to persuade Owen to take part in a stunt where we were going to attach fish and chips to his naked body and make him run down Brighton Beach pursued by seagulls while we sort of, you know, flyered optimistically behind. And we really, really pushed this for, like, I think we were there for a weekend. And we bought apparatus. He wouldn't go for it in the end. He bottled it.
Oh, my God. I mean, to be fair, that is a show that would be better than any show you could put on.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Yeah. You don't want the trailer to be better than the movie. So, that's the situation you'd get yourself in there. Oh, my God. I'd love that.
That's amazing.
A sort of Release the Hounds type situation, except it's seagulls.
They can be quite frightening, can't they?
Well, this is it. They're big fuckers, and they're cheeky. And the only reason they do that, it's not their fault. It's because people have invited them in.
I don't ask this with prejudice, but are they vermin? Like, are they lumped in with like foxes?
This I don't know.
Because pigeons are often basically described as vermin, aren't they?
Yeah.
I know one of the many wonderful things that Boris Johnson did when he was mayor of London was get rid of all the he hawked all the pigeons out of Trafalgar Square, didn't he?
Do they do that? Is there a gull cull?
Is there a hawking of the gulls? Sounds quite grand when you put it that way, doesn't it?
I mean, going down to Brighton for snappier.
Because if not, I've got a bloke called Rob. We'll go around kicking them if necessary.
I think, you know, it's back to our kind of this was the way life used to be. Do you know what I mean? I think it's to be encouraged,
but
protecting your food in front of your
the hyenas are circling.
Right. So you're pro giving it a bit of a boot.
I'm certainly pro gulls giving it a go for the food, and I think the gull would understand. Basically, I don't think the gull's going to be shocked here.
These are the rules of the game.
The gull knows the gull's dancing the dance. You know what I mean? The gull's that guy going around the pub, being a bit too much, looking for a bit of a scrap. So when he gets a donk, he can't complain. Do you know what I mean? I feel like that's what's going on here.
I actually think you're right, Tom. Yeah,
I think the gull knows. And also, as an adolescent gull. He's got some stripes there. The gull's going to go away and go, yeah, I got kicked against a wall last night, yeah. You know, I'm going to come back stronger next time. I'm not going to go near the, you know. His dad, you know, the dad's probably saying, what did you learn tonight? Stay away from the wall. What have I told you? You stay in the open. Just like, I feel like the gulls know what they're doing. It's all part of their vibe. I don't think they're going to mind it.
I also think, you know, he's going to learn pretty soon that chips is what you're after. If you've got a beak, mushy peas, you're getting nowhere with that.
Oh, yeah.
You're just getting mushy peas all over your beak. But he's a kid, he's got to learn these things. So I see that side of the argument. So are we saying basically Rob is in the right?
I think we are.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, everybody thinks Rob is in the right.
So far we've said only use dishwashers. Shit in the sea, birds.
Well, said shit in the sea. You said I have shat in the sea. That's we very different from us encouraging us.
Talk to yourself about how brilliant you were.
Yeah. Okay. So for balance, I think Rob is a monster, and I think what needs to happen is we need to attach fish and chips to Rob and have him run down the promenade, being
Yeah, he can either be kicked by punters who want to come and watch, or attacked by birds. That's like,
this is originally why they were called punters, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You can punt him into the ocean, exactly. Yeah. Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Right, this is from Andrew via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. The very best way to get in touch with us if you have a beef.
The deluxe route, we call it.
It is the deluxe route, absolutely. Andrew writes, evening pappies.
Evening.
No mention of the guest.
Wow.
What a risk.
Real fall from grace here.
Clearly not a reader.
I was esteemed a mere two beefs ago.
You were esteemed, then you were guest, then you were not even mentioned. It's hardly fair, James. Evening pappies. I'm getting in touch with you to help me solve a beef that brewed over the last lockdown. Mm. Over lockdown, I live with my two flatmates, Samantha and Christopher, who are engaged to be married. Congratulations to them.
Tricky.
One morning at 8 a.m, I woke to a text message from Chris, a copy of which is attached for reference. Here's the text message. Okay. Andrew, not a biggie. I'm going to give him that kind of voice because he's used the phrase not a biggie. Andrew, not a biggie, but would you mind not leaving food in the sinkhole as it blocks the sink when I wash up? I bought the sink strainer so it can catch food like this and it can easily be transferred to the bin rather than block the plug hole and go down the drain. Thanks. Oh, man. That's bad, isn't it? An 8 a.m. message like that. It clearly is a biggie as well, Chris. I'm fairly fastidious with cleaning and tidying, certainly not to the point of obsession or anything, but well above average. However, the worst global pandemic in over a century and being locked down in a two-bedroom flat with a couple who had to keep postponing their wedding led me to hit the bottle pretty hard. Worried that I'd done something awful to the sink in my drunken stupor the night before, I went into the kitchen to see what the fuss was about. There, in the plug hole, I found a single slice of mushroom. I clearly used the sink strainer as intended, binned the detritus, then rinsed it, missed a bit of mushroom that went into the plug hole, then went back to drinking wine and listening to historic episodes of Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown. Legend. Thank you very much. He's really getting us on side here.
Yeah, he knows how to curry favour here.
So not me. No mention of me. Got some way to go yet.
James is going to give him an absolute roast.
And then I relaxed with a brilliant book. Is his only way out.
So I picked up the offending fungus, put it in the bin, problem solved. Then I thought for a second about what had just happened. In a period of time that we legally were not allowed to leave the flat, instead of mentioning it the next time we never saw each other that day, I'd been sent a text message about my bad sink cleaning etiquette. And secondly, it was a problem that, without question, took 10 times longer to text me about than it would have taken just to chuck the mushroom in the bin. Am I right to be annoyed about this turn of events? Or should I take the passive aggression on the chin and use it as a learning opportunity not to leave slices of mushroom in the sink? Thanks, guys. Andrew. Right.
Oh, boy.
So.
I'd kick him into a wall.
Smash a dull bot over his head, kick him into a wall. I think this is the classic strain of a couple living sink with strain. Someone. It's a classic sink strain of the couple living with someone who's not in the couple. Go on, Parry.
Yeah. Look, there's a lot going on.
Mm.
It's a very one-sided story, this beef. It's told very well from a master storyteller, but I think he's clearly loading it in his favour, and I'd be fascinated to hear the other side. Because
what do you suspect?
I don't think that is the first mushroom in the sink.
Right.
I really don't. I think that was what happened there. But the guy's bought a sink strainer. He's had to go and buy one.
Right, what led him to that?
What led him to buying that sink strainer?
Horrors.
And I will say this, food around the sink is a problem, guys.
Yeah. And it's grim.
I'm saying that knowing my wife listens to this podcast, so it is a problem. Food in the sink.
Do you think, because this is what I thought maybe his flatmate had cleaned the sink first. maybe that single slice was left over post a cleanup that he had to do.
Because there's a blackout, right? There's a drunken stupor
mm.
where we don't know what went down that sink and what was left.
Yeah, that's it. Because he was like, oh no, what am I going to find? Oh, actually, it was fine. Well,
maybe
if you were worried about
job.
What you were going to find, maybe that's what your flatmate found.
It's suddenly not as black and white as it seems, this
case.
Yeah.
What we need now is for, who is it, Samantha and Christopher, or at the very least Christopher, to get back in touch and to tell us what kind of absolutely apocalyptic scene were you greeted by when you looked down that plug hole?
I reckon it's the rest of the mushroom pilau and probably half a naan or some shit like that.
he's just chucked the entirety of a sort of, you know, like he's half finished his takeaway. He's chucked it into the sink and thought, that's fine. I'll deal with that in the morning.
Yeah.
Nevertheless,
the containers.
Nevertheless, guys, texting your flatmate in a pandemic, that is a passag move.
Yeah, it surely is.
It is. Is it? I think I prefer a text than a face to face, though. Personally,
yeah, if you're worried about tone, you've got a lot more time to work on your tone over a text. I don't think he's done particularly well at working on the tone, but you've got a lot more time to do it. And if you're worried about, like, or maybe he thinks text is quite breezy. That's why he said, like, not a biggie. I'll fire out this text. It's quite a breezy way to say, listen, it's kind of a problem, but like, who gives a shit really? I don't want to have an argument with you about it face to face. I want you to get defensive. I don't want me to get aggressive. Let's just deal with it. And he's thrown it out there.
Yeah. What this is a beef born in the heat of a lockdown with a engaged couple and someone else. It is, you know, you cannot take it out of that context. That is what is going on, you know. It's like, you know, when Hitchcock talked about that thing of like people sat around a table talking about baseball, but you know there's a bomb under the table. Yes. It changes everything. And it's like, this might just be one text about a mushroom in a sink, but under that table, it's, I have been living with you fucking guys and you're talking about your fucking wedding all the fucking time. And like, there's a lot more going on, isn't there? There's a lot more going on.
Yeah,
for real.
I feel for the dude, I must admit. Yeah. I feel for the dude, but I also feel for them. It's hard.
It's a hard one itself. I had a situation. I'm very anti throwing away food. I think food waste is bad. And
Mate, that's not the tone of this. Fucking get it in the fucking
very
bin,
off,
mate. Bin it off, mate. Come on.
All ends up in the sea, mate.
Fucking fish will eat it, mate. Come on. Yeah. So I once went to the bin, and this must have been during lockdown as well. I once went to the bin, opened up the bin, and I could see a mushroom just sitting, like a perfectly good mushroom, sitting on the top of the rubbish in the bin. And I'm not proud of myself, but I just turned around to my wife and went, why is there a mushroom in the bin? And and she was like, I knew as soon as I threw that mushroom away, it was going to be a problem. I should have hidden it under the other rubbish. I knew it, but it went on the floor and I was like, you can run it under the tap. And I was like, why am I fucking arguing about this? But the reason I know this is a big sticking point for my wife was I then had to go when she was making Feel Good, which was making the last series of Feel Good. I did a set visit and went and hung out on set. And one of the first things that Joe Hampson, who's been on the podcast, lovely Joe Hampson, the writer, said to me was, don't worry, I've checked all the bins and there's no mushrooms in them. So it's clearly a story she's told other people to be like, look how fucking nuts my husband is that you throw away a single mushroom and he comes in and has a total shit fit about it. So I sort of know what Christopher is going through here because, you know, it's a classic, it's not about the mushroom, is it? The mushroom.
It's never about the mushroom.
The mushroom is symbolic.
I'm a fun guy. End of podcast.
You've been listening to Bugger House.
Are we at a sort of stalemate situation here with this thing?
It's like, it does feel
it's a two sides to every story.
If I'm in the court, the line that I keep coming back to, if this was a movie, the lawyer turning around and saying to the jury, he'd had to buy a sink strainer.
Mm.
No further questions, Your Honour. That, to me, that feels like there's more. And so I'm actually, you know, with what we're given, I'm going with the other guys.
Yeah, my sticking point is him going, I was worried about what I was going to see, and then there was just one bit of mushroom, and clearly I'd cleaned out the sink, I'd rinsed the thing, and then I'd put it back and left one little bit of mushroom. And you're like, no. You thought you were going to see something bad. Your housemate had to deal with it.
Yeah. There's occasionally a time, there's like occasional times when you're drunk, when you go, I'm going to clean the kitchen. I'm going to do a really good job. That occasionally happens. But most of the time when you're drunk, you think, I'm going to fall asleep in my shoes. That's kind of what it really is. It's very rare that you go, oh, actually, I've actually been quite fastidious in tidying up. So I think you're right. So beef. The way to solve the beef is it has to be move out and let these guys get married.
100%.
It does, doesn't it? I don't think we're saying anything that
Don't go to the wedding. They don't want you there, mate.
Yeah.
Don't go. You're going to cause a scene at some point and it'll get ugly. Don't go.
Buy them a little jewellery box as a gift, and in it, just a little slice of mushroom.
Nice. Beef solved. Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved. So, the author, do you have a beef from your own home life?
Well, I've got quite a few, actually.
oh, boy.
But I am the subject. I actually don't understand subjects and objects of all that. I'm at fault a lot of the time.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, is there anything that where you think you're not to blame and you would like us to prove
you
right?
I'll tell you about... I think you'll think I am to blame, but I'll make my case.
Okay, let's hear it.
Right. It's not particularly nice, as in it's a bit like grotty.
I think the conversation we've had so far seems fine.
Fine. So I have a habit where I sort of pick my fingernails like that. Like I sort of tear them off.
Nervous.
Oh, no.
Not nerves. It's just like I've always done it. I just tear them.
You're just a hard
bastard. Yeah, just really hard. I always do it. It goes too far.
Blood. Oh no.
It's unpleasant. But I just can't I can't remember a time when I didn't do it.
James, I hate this.
Do you? Yeah. How did you feel, Clarky, about that scene in Black Swan where she like picks at a cuticle and like peels half her hand off?
It really
interrupted my wanking.
the other day, my lovely dog, I was in the vet. And I'll try and tell this story as succinctly as possible. But basically, the vet wanted to look in the dog's mouth. The dog was very stressed out. The vet asked me to hold her mouth open. I did that using my thumb as a kind of jam to keep the mouth open. It didn't work. She bit down on my thumb and my thumbnail cracked.
Oh.
It made an audible crack.
Oh,
down the middle
God.
Of it.
Oh,
yeah. That's not relevant to the beef.
Do you have a calcium deficiency? What's going on? Is that the beef? Drink more milk. Is that the beef salt?
Anyway, the beef is I do this, like, let's say sat here
tear
doing a podcast.
Your fingernails.
You tear my fingernails and I leave them in like a little pile, mound.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I get on with my day.
Terrible.
I get on with my day, and then my wife comes across
finds
them.
The piles of nails. Yeah.
And she has expressed many times her unhappiness about this situation.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But what's impressive about me is that rather than go, yes, that's obviously disgusting, I can't
like
believe
Harriet.
I can't believe I've made you put up with that. I, the other day, mounted like an impassioned defence.
This is me. Boy. This is my personality.
I literally said, like, I can't remember a time I haven't done this. This is me. I think I said the words, I'm always going to do this. And if you stay married to me, then this is just the consequence of your decisions.
I'm picturing you in court as this is your defence. You go, look. I love murdering people. I'm always going to do it. I can't remember a time when I wasn't murdering people. So if you want me to be walking around, you've got to accept that I murder people, all right?
Like I was actually there on your wedding day, though. That was very touching, the vows, you know, in sickness and in health, richer or poorer, tearing off my fingernails and putting them in piles around
the
room.
That was in the fine print, the small print of the bottom of the vows.
You kind of mumbled through that.
Yeah. But it was just a sort of fascinating thing, because obviously I appreciate to your ears, to our listeners' ears, you'll be like, well, of course, there's no beef to solve here. I mean, this is absolutely apparent that you're in the wrong. But what I find, I'm sort of almost impressed with myself that I've refused to back down over this. It's like I know that I'm going to keep doing it. There are things I can fix in my behaviour, but this, I don't see it happening.
Is there any 50-50 split whereby you only do it to one hand? No, where you do it, like, where you do it, but you don't leave the pile. Is leaving the piles part of it?
It's leaving the pile. But it's all it is like, it's I forget. I just forget.
Well, that's the thing.
Again, yeah,
you have to start remembering.
You do not need to start. Or is there something you could buy akin to a sink strainer that was like a little special pot?
Like a little ramekin, like a little mushy peas tub that I carry around with me.
Exactly. Pop it in between your legs.
Pop it between my legs.
In the same way that, you know, pop someone around. Might have a little jewellery box, you've got that, and it's got a little small ceramic lid on it that you can pop down, and it actually makes it into, you know, if anything, makes it into more of an affectation that you bring you bring your little, your little DNA box all around the place, peel bits off of yourself, pop it in the box, and then at the end of the week, you see, like the phone levels, you see if you've peeled more stuff off yourself than you did the week before. You measure out the measurements and you go, oh, actually.
Yeah, I'm not keeping it to hoard it. I'm just forgetful.
But you chuck it away at the end of the week, you know, but if it's in a pot, if it's your little special, you know, your little special...
receptacle.
Bye-bye drawer, exactly. Yeah, then that's what you...
I think that may be a necessary step, guys, to be honest. I want to avoid divorce.
I do admire your kind of this, you know, love is not love which alters when it alteration finds. Like, it's that kind of... That's the kind of stance you're coming from.
It wasn't as eloquent as that, what I said in the moment. it was a bit more sort of like, listen, right, I am what I am kind of thing. But...
pointing to the dog, going, well, the dog pisses the bed, right? So I'm not the worst person in the house, all right? The dog's pissing all over. Yeah.
I mean, is there nothing that you do that you're like, listen, I can be more tidy. I can not leave a mushroom in the sink. But there are certain non-negotiables. And I'm afraid that for me, leaving piles of my fingernails in sort of like surprise destinations around the house is a non-negotiable.
We've had a couple of quite big arguments over the toilet seat.
Okay, yeah, that's a classic, of course.
And that is a very classic. And for some reason, that was never an issue until we're in the most recent place. But I sometimes leave. Oh, our last toilet seat had a little handle on the side. So you didn't have to touch the rim of the toilet to put the seat
down. Did you just
ask
yourself an imaginary question in your head then? And that's
I was like, why wasn't that a problem? Oh, that was why.
I was going to say, your tone completely changed there to answer a question that no one asked.
we'll drop the question in. Can somebody just ask the question now? No. What do you think that is, Sir Clarky?
It's got to be Ben. Yeah. It should be Ben. Oh, Clarky. Oh, why do you think that is? So, James, here's my solution for you. I think what you need to do is you need to find something that your partner has that gets on your nerves, that is inimitably theirs, that is them, and you say, look, I'll give you that, you give me this.
Right.
And it's a trade. You go, look, I'm not going to stop you from doing this that you know. I know you do. It drives me crazy. You know that. And that's the trade-off.
In nuclear terms, it's multilateral disarmament.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. You can't have unilateral disarmament. We're not getting rid of our nukes. You've got to get rid of yours at the exact same time. And so, none of this kind of Kim Jong-un parades.
Can you think of one of the things that they've got that is like, you kind of go, well, I'll give you that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's as bad, but my wife performs a lot of sketch comedy, and
that is much worse than but you found the one thing that's worse than tearing your own fingernails off.
Beef sole. No, and the consequence of that is that she leaves a lot of props assorted around the house. There's no designated prop cupboard. Without exaggeration, I've got a rubber dildo attached to the tiles in my kitchen right now, because apparently it's necessary for...
Wait, are you sure that's sketch comedy? There's an Italian man in my wife's bed right now.
She's doing this sketch, right, where she dates like these three guys a night, right? And it's like...
I've got
the perfect solution for you, James.
Yeah.
You've got to write her a bunch of really good sketches involving piles of fingernails. And then she won't know whether...
Where else is she going to obtain that prop?
She's Amazon not going to know whether it's props or not.
Perfect.
You know what I mean?
Smart.
It's the perfect crime.
Really smart.
I love it.
She's already written herself a sketch that involves sticking a dildo on a tile so that she can have one. It's the perfect
crime. It's quite convoluted, actually, yeah. I should point out there are no shows. There's never a sketch show. It's just props. Just rooms full of these props.
Oh, boy.
Beef solved.
James, thank you so much for coming on the pod.
It's been pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Get to the
meat, mate. Come on.
And you've got a book coming
up. Why am I here?
So you've got a book that's out right now. Is that right?
It is. It's out right now. It's available all the usual places, all the bad websites people don't like. You can get it there. It's called The Champ and the Chump. And it is a comedy sports memoir. Tom's actually read it, so he can endorse it. He's also in it very briefly, but it's still good.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't use that to sell your book.
Which one is he, the champ or the chump?
I'll say this very quickly. I'm delighted at the title because it reminded me of one of my favourite stories from growing up. My brother was asleep in the back of the car on a long car journey, and we wrote chump on his forehead in biro. And my mom saw what we'd done and was like, I'm not having that, and leant over. And my brother woke up to my mom finishing correcting the U to an A. So all he knew is he woke up and his mom was writing champ on his forehead. And mom was like, you're my champ. So the champ and the chump really
resonated with you.
It really resonated with me. I love this book. I think it's a brilliant read. Your grandfather was a middleweight champion of the world, wasn't he? And fought for the heavyweight world title.
That's right, Terry Downs. He was a boxer in the late 50s, early 60s. And it's kind of his life story, but intertwined with my own. And it's a kind of reckoning of what it's like to feel different from your own family, I guess. And a bit of an exploration of that with jokes and stuff.
Lovely. Brilliant. But I can't wait to read it.
Clarky's working on a similar book, actually, about feeling different from your family.
His family are working on one, and it will be published first. So
it's called The Chump and the Chump.
have you done an audiobook? Because I'm really getting into audiobooks. Have you?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Oh, amazing.
9 hours. If you've just heard a little bit of my voice on this podcast and thought, what about 9 hours of that? Then you are in luck. It's a harrowing experience recording your own audiobook, I've got to tell you.
Really?
Yeah, it is, because it's like you're sort of doing the book and you sort of get to bits and you're like, oh yeah, this was filler. Still in it.
You've got to really work on selling your book, James. So where's this audiobook available?
And which chapters can I skip? Just to tell you, tell us now.
7, 9
Sure, yeah.
The audiobook is fun. You have to sort of make a choice when you do an audiobook as to whether you're going to commit to doing the voices.
Yeah, like, of course.
You know, am I doing the voices?
And I committed. You're a fantastic comic actor, you know. So that's right in your wheelhouse.
But well, you're not very versatile when it comes to accents, though. I will say that. Having worked with you.
Well, all right. Sorry, I forgot we had Peter Sellers here. Fucking hell.
Yeah, let's just say I got into deep waters. I sort of thought, I'll do the voices. And then by the end, I've introduced a multitude of characters from all over the globe. It's worth getting the audiobook for like chapter 8 when the Welsh bloke turns up and the shit absolutely hits the fan.
So good. Oh, fantastic. So it's The Champ and the Chump, available wherever you get audiobooks or indeed books. James, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. From the sorting out your
beef. Well, there you go. What a treat that was. And well, what's more to say? I guess.
Honestly, that's always
quite
there.
In for someone who's written a boxing book that we had a weigh in. Am I right?
Yes, very nice.
I absolutely yeah. Parry, you've got some correspondence. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us and send us a beef, or just get in touch and chat with us, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. If you've got a problem with your neighbours, your flatmates, your landlord, even a problem with a seagull, get in touch with us.
We
will sort it. We've had a lovely email through from Matthew and Tom, #parentcrack, from Simon via pappysflatshare@gmail.com. Greetings, podcasters dear. Listening to Matthew get excited about the Wiggles on a recent Beef Brothers cold cuts, I felt I must relate my own Wiggles story. They toured the UK about 10 years ago. We saw them at the Manchester Apollo.
Oh,
this
wow.
was the Anthony, Murray, Jeff, brackets he fell asleep, Sam lineup.
My the original,
daughter,
the OG.
Then
yeah.
three, Ovs took some roses for Dorothy, obviously.
Of course.
She was on some stairs at one point and Murray suddenly appeared. She was so shocked she fell over down the stairs. Yet Murray was so amazing he was able to catch her and thus save injury. Legend.
Wow.
I'm pretty certain the only way this is feature worthy is if you started a feature called When Some Cunt's Kid Met the Wiggles. Actually sounds like the kind of feature we would start.
Yeah, it's not bad actually, yeah.
Also, the kids' albums by They Might Be Giants on Spotify are an excellent musical compromise for me and my kids, so you might like them too. Thanks for all the podcasts. Cheers, everyone. Bye, Simon.
Oh, thank you, Simon. And I love They Might Be Giants. What a band. Fantastic. Mm. Thank you for that recommendation. If you'd like to get in touch with us, pappysflatshare@gmail.com. And don't forget to join the Patreon as well for more James McNicholas and us.
Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Well, cheers, everyone. Bye. And the winner of the award... Please be upstanding for your winner, the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch Roll Call! This is an incredible surprise. I wasn't expecting this. Honestly, I look out at all of you and my heart is full. I want to thank my mother, my agent, and Rob Hull.
Yeah, I genuinely, this is a dream come true. I never thought I would be standing up here on the podium when I moved to this land. And there's one person I have to thank, and that is, of course, Seth Bland.
Thank you so much. So privileged to be here. This I can only describe as being the absolute bomb. And I would like to, of course, thank my good friend, Tom.
A lot of people doubted me, and I don't care. You guys are all cunts. Okay. But there's one person I'd like to thank, and that's Ben.
Oh, good. I'm glad you went that way.
That's Ben Eyre. Yeah?
Because, you know, Ben's had the good grace to become a $5 patron. Yeah. I feel like we can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben backed me, and here I am now, holding this. Yeah?
You know, it's the air, absolutely. That's... please put that away. They haven't got time to pixelate it. Oh, actually, with yours, they do. I look out over the audience and I see so many familiar faces, you know, it's great to see one that is particularly smiley, and that is, of course, my agent, Maura Riley.
Well, of course, the person I want to thank the most is the Queen.
The Queen!
The Queen!
But the Queen!
Secondly, my dear friend, April Keane.
Now, listen, they said I needed to keep this speech short. there are too many people that I want to call out for being cunts, right?
Someone take the mic away from
him. They're in my speech, all right? But Sam's in it. John's in it. I've even got Jeff in because he was a real cunt to me. But I'll tell you who wasn't.
Oh,
Alid Heffin. He was all right.
He was all right.
Oh, it's this guy again. All right, here we go. he's in every week. But you know what? He truly is the wind beneath my wings. My mother always said, don't say anything if you can't say something nice. Not a problem with this guy because he's wonderful. It's Ian Gwydice. Or Guidus.
And the award to most mentioned in Patreon neighborhood.
And the award for leaves and comes back twice a month goes to.
Well, thank you for this award. What can I say? It gets me right where it's pure. And thank you also to the absolute not a cunt, Stuart McClure.
I'm going to keep this short. Because I'm on a promise for a blowy.
Could you imagine that?
Fuck all you cunts, first of all. Fuck all you haters. And second of all, here, I'm coming for you, Shane Snowy.
Oh, no. So you've got a promise to give Shane Snowy a blowjob?
Yeah, I promised him if I won, I'd make good with my lips.
You know what? He's
on the lips.
He's dropped $7 Australian, so you know it's.
He'll drop more than that, mate. When I'm finished with him.
Can I just say, yeah, I'm with Tom on about 50% of what he said. Fuck all the haters. You know, I'm not mad at you. I'm just bored of you. Except. There's one person who's always been there for me, and that is, of course, Claudia.
Well, I've got to admit, thanks for the award.
The fame's really made you talk weird, Matthew.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
You started acting all cool since we won this award.
Do you know what? I'm happier with the way it's made me act than the way it's made you act, actually. I'm not going to lie. I'm happy with occasionally being a bit sort of constructing my sentences slightly poorly and speaking up a bit more street than I am. But you know what? That's fine because I can deal with that in the privacy of my own home. I don't have to go to Shane Snowy's house every couple of days.
A promise is a promise, all right? I'm proud of you. I made a promise.
I'm proud of you, Claudia.
Well, thank you for this award. And I've got to be short because I've paid someone for a blowy. But it's money well spent because I get to blow the lovely Frank Vincent.
Gorgeous stuff.
And the amount, the privilege.
The amount of promises I made of what I'd do if I won, thinking about it makes my pants swell. I'm going to be a busy boy. And I'm coming for you, Sammy Cantwell. P.S. Fuck the haters, y'all.
And all, listen.
I'll be fucking all the people who backed me as well. I made a lot of promises.
I just want to say to all the naysayers, all the shit posters, and all the haters, I just think you're all pathetics.
So cool.
But there's one person, yeah.
So cool, man.
Pretty cool.
Fame's really made you.
You're
cool.
All just a bunch. You're just a bunch of pathetics. You really are. But there is one person I want to thank for always standing by me, never a thorn in my side. It's Xenonetics. Fucking hell, Xenonetics.
That is very cool, actually, Crosby.
So cool, man. So
well, cool. Thank you so much for this award. And most of all, I'd like to thank Oh, my good friend Lily Payne.
Oh, well, thanks to Lily Payne. And that concludes... Oh, no, Parry, stop it. Oh, you didn't promise me anything. Stop doing that, Parry. Parry, stop it. Parry.
What a promise. That concludes the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch Roll Call.
Keep it local.
Hey.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.